Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. College football's transfer portal window is open through next Friday. Ohio State landed a wideout on Wednesday. Former University of Texas at San Antonio receiver Devin McCune committed to the Buckeyes. He's the fourth player to sign with OSU since the portal opened last week. Also Wednesday, safety Caleb Downs declared for the NFL draft. He's the second Buckeye to do so. 2025's Thorpe Award winner is expected to be a top 10 pick in April's draft in Pittsburgh. In college hoops, Ohio State sophomore guard Jelani Cambridge dropped 41 on Illinois last night to power the 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad to a 78-69 win. The 14-2 Buckeyes will play at number 8 Maryland Sunday. The Ohio State men's squad's out west for a two-game road trip that starts tonight at Oregon. Buckeyes will be without Brandon Noel for the foreseeable future. He injured his foot in Monday's loss to Nebraska. You can hear Bucks and Ducks with coverage tonight at 9:30 right here on your home for Ohio State Athletics, 97.1 The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Barry here.
Well, Reese came in and he handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then, he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging. And only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Hi, it's Sue live on a Thursday edition of the program. Both of the boys with you for the next three. Pretty loaded up for you here on a nice little Thursday. College football playoff semifinal. We should be playing right now. You imagine that? How different today would have been? You just would have heard the bells and getting you set for the Buckeyes and the Rebels of Ole Miss. By the way, before we get into all of this, best guess on what the line would be if it was Ohio State Ole Miss tonight?
Buckeyes 7.5.
That's what I was going to say.
I was thinking a little lower than that because, what was it? Miami was 9.5. So I was, close. 6.5, I was thinking.
Somewhere in there.
Just a little lower.
Yeah. Doing a very different show. If that was the case. Nevertheless, we are loaded up. We'll open up that mailbag at 10 o'clock. We have at 10:20, I think I'm going to do this. There is a neighborhood coyote exchange that is...
Like you're trading coyotes or text messages?
Yeah, we get coyotes in the mix again, and there's panic in the streets. And, we have a coyote bureau chief. The professor who came on with us last year, so we may have to dip into his knowledge again, or we could just use common sense. But that's usually something that's reserved for the neighborhood text exchange. Paul Feinbaum going to join us at 10:30. We will beat the house NFL style coming up at 11 o'clock, and at 11:30, the Jackets in Vegas, and we'll do a little Shelly time. All right. Obviously, there's panic in the streets, and not about the coyotes, but about the portal. So I thought what I would do is try to explain the best I can what I think is going on the last week or so at Ohio State. Portal opened last Friday, right? So, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, those schools kind of all have the same approach to this. Like if you go to whatever if you were to dare to go down this road and go to like the Georgia fan site or the Bama fan site or the Texas fan site, you would see panic in the streets the way that there's panic in the streets up here. You'd see the same thing. I mean, they're all kind of in the same boat. And this is what I think is going on. I don't know this, but it's an educated guess, a little more than that, of what I think is actually going on. And this is what I think it is. I think at the end of the season, when the portal opens, if you are a place like Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Bama, a place like that, but I think this is the Ohio State plan specifically, your number one priority is to pay your guys. Okay. So, and I've seen this a lot from folks saying, well, you don't have to play Carnell Tate anymore. You don't have to play Caleb Downs anymore. You don't have to pay. Yeah, but you got to give Julian a raise. And you got to give Jeremiah a raise. And you've got to give, you can just go down the roster and just look at guys who would be returning starters and say, we would like to have you back. Think about all of the guys on the offensive line who would be returning. Think about Brandon Ennis. Think about Max Clair. Yeah, I think they're trying to keep Max Clair for another season. I know he's draft eligible, but I think they're trying doggedly to keep him. I think they're trying to keep Caden McDonald. I think they're trying to keep Kenyatta Jackson. I think they're trying to keep all of these guys in the mix. That is priority number one, is retaining our guys. Retaining Riley Pettijohn and Peyton Pierce, the next guys up in the linebacker room. Retaining Devin Sanchez, next guy up in the cornerback room. That's job one. Are you a starter last year? We have to take care of you. Then the next thing that happens is all of your roster depth is coming to you and saying, well, I need a raise. I need a raise. And if you're Ohio State, now this is when you have to ask yourself the question. Well, we've had him on campus for a year, or in some cases a year or two. Is he worth what we would pay a starting corner? Is he that good? Or can we do better in the portal? Is there somebody out there better in the portal? And it's my belief that what Ohio State is doing there is holding a firm line. Yeah, let's be reasonable. But the reality is that some of the asks that are being asked, even from guys who are deep in the depth chart, would make your head spin. And the reality is, and my guess is most of you out there would have said, if some, you know, second, third string guy comes in and asks for a raise of substantial, maybe 2x of what he was getting previously, you would say, yeah, no, kick rocks, we're done. And that can get into a different conversation about how to build a roster. We talked about a little bit that yesterday. I don't think there's a such thing as developed here anymore. I think that's going away. And I think that's something Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, all of those schools have got to get used to in real time, because 5-star kids don't want to wait. 4-star kids don't want to wait. 3-star kids don't want to wait. They want to go get paid. They want to play. And honestly, in recruiting, unless you're Jeremiah Smith, you should go someplace where you can get on the field right away and prove what you're worth. I would not. I've been saying this for 2 weeks. I would not get in a bidding war for a high school kid anymore. I wouldn't. I would not do it. And I would just say, this is what we're offering. If that's good for you, great. If not, see on down the road, unless it's somebody who you can plug and play. Chris Henry better be a plug and play. He better come in and start, because they got into a bidding war with it. He got more than, I think, probably initially what they were wanted to. And so now here's the thing with him. He's got to come in and be a starter. He's got to come in and be a dude. And they're still looking for dudes in the portal. So then the next part of this, so you have retention. Then you have being raked over the coals by the bottom half of your roster. And then the third part of this is, now let's get in the portal and let's go shopping. And then if you're Ohio State, you're basically at that point, if there are guys who say, all that matters to me is that I get the most money, that I get the most money, then if you're Ohio State, you may have to walk away from some of those kids. Ohio State doesn't have a get out of jail free card the way that they used to. In terms of, hey, Clemson's got a waterfall. We need a waterfall. They don't have that any. They don't have multi-billionaire boosters. They got a massive business community. They've got the biggest fan base, or one of the biggest fan bases in the country. And by the way, and this is just the reality of it. I don't blame you for saying I'm not giving them a cent. But if you are one of the people who is saying, why aren't they paying top dollar for all these guys? Are you donating? How would that make you feel? If you're a diehard Buckeye fan and you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're going, why aren't they paying the top dollar for all these guys? Well, are you donating to it? Because that's the model we have now, guys. That's the model. I've been wrong on a lot of things. I was dead right on all of this. The problem here that was always going to happen is, if you are Ross Bjork and you're trying to build buildings and maintain the shoe and find money and put advertisement on jerseys and all of these things that he's trying to do, he's doing that for the health of the athletic department. This is separate. This is NIL. And this goes well beyond the $20 million or whatever the nonsense number is they threw together. Is it possible that Ohio State's playing a little bit too much by the rules in this thing? Yeah, maybe. Maybe they are. Because it's lawless right now, obviously. But it's the same people that Ross is asking for money for facilities and keeping all the programs afloat, all of those things are the exact same people that he's going to and saying, or that the collectives are going to and saying, I need more money to pay this kid. This was always going to happen. It was always going to happen. I do not think that Ohio State has been caught with their pants down at all. I think that what the thing that is being missed here is their number one priority was retaining their guys. What do you think the market is for Julian Sand? Not suggesting that he wanted to leave in any way, shape, or form, but he deserved a raise.
More than Sorsby.
Yes, more than Sorsby. He's a Heisman finalist. Like, come on. If Damon Williams is worth $5.5 million, what's Julian worth? You have to pay what he's worth. Or at least in the vicinity. And before you go at the kids, understand the adults ruined this.
Yeah, this isn't on any of the players.
It's not on them at all. And if their parents are being duplicitous, it's not really on them either. You created the sandbox to play in. The adults created the sandbox to play in. Now you got to go play in it. So stop complaining about it. It is what it is. But that's what I think is going on around here. I don't think they're panicking up there. I don't.
I guess I do appreciate from the standpoint where Ross is saying outwardly that there needs to be rules and they need to follow these rules. And then, you know, behind the scenes, he's trying to play by whatever those guardrails are. So I have an appreciation for him saying one thing and doing that, where you have so many other people in college athletics saying one thing and doing the exact opposite. And I had said that I also had an appreciation for them trying to keep 36 sports.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening because of that effort.
Sure. You guys have seen There Will Be Blood. Or at least you've seen the scene.
Everybody knows the milkshake. Scene, the milkshake, yeah.
Okay. There's one damn milkshake. And there used to be a couple of straws in it. Now there's 36 straws in it. That's what's happening.
Same size milkshake.
Same milkshake. Yeah.
I feel like on this show, we should be talking about a pie and not a milkshake.
I threatened to bring the pie out earlier. Like, look,
yeah.
If so-and-so is getting so much of this, and you've also got to save a slice for Matt Patricia, right?
Yes.
And we talked about
and
this.
And I think that will get done, by the way. I think the Patricia thing will get done.
We talked about this yesterday. Where is your money better spent? Is your money better spent on a fourth receiver?
Yeah.
When you only played three all year for the most part, or is it better spent on a left tackle or an edge rusher or a cornerback? Like, it's a different world now. And we're so used to at Ohio State to having the luxury of recruiting two top 10, mm-hmm. sometimes top five cornerbacks in each yep. class, two or three top five wide receivers. That's just not the world we live in right now.
Mm-mm. No. And that's we'll go there next, because I think they tried to keep Caleb. I think they did. I think they tried to put an offer in front of him to get him to stick around, but inevitably he decided to make his move to the National Football League. But the question you just asked is the important one. What's more important to you, the collective you, the fan base, you, the donors, you, the boosters, what's most important to you when it comes to Ohio State athletics? And where do you want that money to go? Because those questions are being asked every single day, all day long, and it's never been more pressing than now. Off and running on a Thursday, Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because with my family safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hello.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Could see some patchy lingering fog today, otherwise mostly cloudy and mild with highs in the mid to upper 50s. For tonight, lows in the upper 40s to low 50s, gusty winds, and we'll see showers developing going toward daybreak on Friday. For Friday, we could see scattered showers and even isolated thunderstorms. It will be significantly warmer and breezy with highs in the mid to low 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
This was always going to be kind of where the rubber meets the road on this. It was always going to be the individual massive boosters who grew fatigued by this. That was the only course correction that was going to happen until it's collectively bargained and they have contracts. That's it. We've been saying that for years around here, and it remains true now that there is. And there is, you saw the story from about Indiana and Mark Cuban yesterday, how they're more happy with his donation this year than they were the previous year. All it takes is one. If you have one of those type of guys, I mean, that's what's going on at Michigan. That's how they're retaining their players. That's how they got Bryce Underwood. They have a couple of massive boosters who are putting their money where their mouth is, and they are able to retain. They're able to sign. That's what's happening at Indiana. You got to have those type of things. Ohio State's one of the most difficult situations in the country for that, for myriad reasons. One of them is that Ohio State, and this has been something we've talked about for a decade plus, wants to be Stanford in the Olympic sports, and they want to be Alabama in football. And so when you have 36 sports, there's only so much money to go around, because NIL isn't just at the highest end. It's a football and men's basketball issue, but it's also a women's basketball issue, and it's a lacrosse issue, and it's a soccer issue, and a baseball issue, and a softball issue, because they all want to get a little bit, right? Do they all want $6 million? No. But they want a little bit. So that money is being spread around in all of these places. And those same big money boosters that are paying for facilities and upgrades and all of those things want their names on buildings. They're also being asked for this same stuff. So you have to ask yourself the question, what do you want Ohio State athletics to be? What's most important? The unanimous answer would be football, of course. But are you willing to give up the rest of that stuff or give up some of that stuff? Those are the hard decisions that are going to have to be made right now, because they did not do this right. And we all knew it in real time. They didn't. And not they as Ohio State. They as college athletics did not do this right for fear of calling it what it is. That's how you're in this spot.
That's how you'll continue to find yourself in that spot. That's how where you have Damon Williams signing a contract that says everything, but he's an actual employee. And then they're being... this kind of consternation over, well, is he actually going to be a quarterback for Washington Huskies next season, which is a wild thing to think about. I was looking for LSU and their big money booster, Todd Graves. In 2025, he saw his net worth go from 9.5 to 17. No, his estimated net worth is between 9.5 and 17.2 billion by Forbes.
Yeah.
That's such a wide difference. In the average jump. Google says 22 billion, but because I was just trying to rack my head around, like, who's LSU's guy? Oh, that's right, they're Raising Cane's guy. So if you want to LSU to not succeed, I guess don't consume their chicken fingers.
Sure.
I mean, but that, to your point, like, they've all got one. LSU now, Indiana, Mark Cuban, Larry Ellison at Michigan, Phil Knight at Oregon. Like, billionaires aren't just, you know, can someone from Ohio State, like, can we find a billionaire? Not that one. Can someone in Ohio State find a billionaire?
Yeah. It, like Cody Campbell at Texas Tech. Like, he played there. That's perfect. Like, he's right. He's knee deep in the muck in it. How do you think they made the playoff? How do you think they landed Sorsby? How did all this happen? Well, that's how it happened. That's how. Ohio State's having to do it a little bit different. But they're going to have to make hard decisions right now on what they want this to be. What they want the athletic department to be. Where they want the money to go. Where they want to spend. You can only find money in so many places. I mean, that's what Ross has been doing since he's got here. That's how you're going to get a restaurant in the stadium. That's how you're going to end up with patches on the jersey. All of that stuff is all found money. That's why you pay for a tour of the stadium now. It's all trying to find money. Where can we find it? It doesn't. Right? There's this perception that it grows on trees here. It doesn't. Now, they have some real hard questions to be asked and answered in terms of, are you running this business correctly? That's part of it, too. Are you running a good business? I said that to Gene a decade ago. Is this a good business model? Like, 36 sports? Does this make any sense to do this? I mean, it's something you're going to have to ask and needs to be answered.
Something with this, too, the way Ohio State has done this, Bo, as we've talked about, Ohio State has continued to do the recruiting and development model of that. And I have been on the record that I like that. I prefer that. But you look at an Indiana, who's Indiana paying to stay next year? They're not. They're just paying new guys to come in. Yeah. They don't have to pay Fernando Mendoza because they paid him for a one and done. And he's off to the NFL. They're going to do that with this Hoover kid next. They don't have to re-up with Julian Sain. Why trying to keep everyone else too? So it's something where Ohio State in this situation too is a victim of their own success with what they were doing. But right now, that model isn't the way to go in college sports. You can't keep everyone and bring in people in the transfer portal and do all of this stuff. The money is just not unlimited.
No, Oregon honestly is the model for what Ohio State is trying to do, but we don't have Phil Knight. But that's the model, because Oregon's trying to do both. They're trying to be behemoth in the portal while also massive in recruiting. And they've succeeded so far at that. It's funny. If you go look at the 2025 team rankings on 24/7 in recruiting, number one was Texas, best class. Georgia was 2, Alabama 3, Ohio State 4. What do you think those four schools paid for those classes?
Didn't Cignetti snitch on them?
Now, let me tell you this, buddy.
30 million?
You bring up Cignetti. Guess where Indiana was in 2025? Top recruiting classes in the country.
Are they like 12th or 13th?
I think they were 30th.
49th in 2020. They were 49th in 2025. Oregon was 5th. The other teams playing over the next 2 days, Miami was 14th. Ole Miss was 16th. Folks, it's all there for you. It's all there for you. This is what's happening in real time. Like Caleb Downs yesterday declared for the NFL draft. Well, yeah, duh. He's going to be a top 10 pick. Makes all the sense in the world. Two-time consensus, unanimous All-American. Had one of the great careers ever here. Won the Thorpe Award, Big Ten Player of the Year, all of those things. He's going to be a top 10 pick. Could be a Cincinnati Bengal. And for Bengals fans, I'm guessing that would make you quite thrilled to get Caleb Downs as a linchpin at the back end of your defense. My hunch is Ohio State tried to keep him. I think they did. I think they tried keeping him, and I think they put a very competitive offer to keep him. And there's going to come a point where what is being paid in college to these guys exceeds what is being paid in the NFL. Which, we're damn near there.
That's a major problem.
Well,
to me,
that's where we're at. I'd have to look at like the pay scale for first-round draft picks,
but
it's got to be close.
Bo, somebody sent it to us on Twitter this morning. I'll have to look and try to find it. Troy sent it to us on Twitter. He said if Damon Williams is set to make $6 million wherever he ends up this year,
yeah,
that would already be for just 1 year. Now, this isn't the total contract, but for 1 year, that beats the number eight draft pick in the NFL draft. That is more than whoever gets drafted eighth in this draft is going to make in year number one.
That's correct. Yep. And if you're Damon Williams, that's more. And by the way, you can't blame him because that's more than he's ever going to make as a professional football player. He is never making that again. Never. He's not a pro. Like Trinidad Chambliss? No, you think, how desperate is that extra year of eligibility to him? The most money that he's likely going to make in his life is happening right now. It's happening right now, and he's trying to get one more year of it because he didn't get big money to go to Ole Miss. He came there to be the backup to Austin Simmons. He's going to start tonight in the national semifinal. Same thing with Carson Beck. Go look at the mock drafts. Where do you see Carson Beck? He's not a first-round pick. Got $4.5 million last year at Miami. That's as much as he's going to make as a football player, barring something dramatic happening. Certainly not going to happen with his rookie contract. It's already happened, man. It's already happened. You're paying more right now at the top end of college football than you are for first round NFL draft picks. And is that wrong? Is that stupid? Is that backwards? Sure. But they drove into the iceberg, man. When you drive into the iceberg, the ship crashes. And that's where we're at right now. There's games being played tonight. What is your interest level in them? We will get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
What's up on a Thursday edition of the program? We've got national semifinals tonight. Game one, this is the game, of course, Ohio State was supposed to be playing in. It's Ole Miss and Miami instead. I think two things are true. I think, number one, obviously most people thought Ohio State would be in this game, clearly. 9.5-point favorites losing to Miami. I guess that one went down to 7.5 by the time we got to kick. That probably should have told us more and all that we needed to know. But I think everybody also thought that there was no chance that Ole Miss would be in this game, and I think the chief among them is Lane Kiffin. I think he thought for sure Georgia would beat Ole Miss and he wouldn't have to keep dealing with this. And for all of the there's all of this craziness around the coaching staff that is going back and forth between LSU and Ole Miss. The one thing that I don't understand about this is the vitriol going at Kiffin. For whatever you think of it, just remember this. These coaches are being compensated by LSU. These are LSU employees that are coaching Ole Miss. That's part of it. I mean, Charlie Weiss's kid is an LSU employee, and he's calling the offense for Ole Miss. Now, is it tricky to have them going back and forth? Yeah, of course it's tricky. But that's not necessarily Ole Miss's fault. It's not Weiss's fault. It's not Kiffin's fault. That's the calendar's fault. And that's on a list of 1,000 things that are wrong among the top five that got to get sorted out. But the thing that has been crazy is like the media pitting Kiffin against Ole Miss and Ole Miss against Kiffin. I think he's being pretty magnanimous here. He's giving you the play caller for 3 playoff games while he's trying to put a roster together for next year at LSU. And I don't think Lane Kiffin's the best guy on the planet, far from it. But I also think that he could just say no. Find your own damn play caller. He could say that, and that hasn't happened. In fact, Pete Golding was asked about this. He was asked, and listen to this response. Pete Golding, who's the coach now at Ole Miss, was interim, now head. He's going to play a game against Miami tonight. He was asked if he had a message for Lane Kiffin. Here's the answer.
Our team had a message. They had a message about how they prepared and how they play and that they weren't tired of playing. And I do think the message is I'm replaceable, you're replaceable, our players are replaceable. Right? I think you want to build a program to where it's heading in the right direction, and one person, one player, or anything like that's not going to derail that. There's been too much invested in that, and it's been aligned correctly that one person is not going to impact something so drastically. If it is, it's probably not built right. The only thing that was different, who's running out of the tunnel. And to be honest with you, I don't think the players give a damn who runs out of the tunnel. Right? Does that make sense? They care about their plan. They care about getting held accountable, right? And how they're going to prepare. And they care about people that care about them, right? And I think that's been the message our players have created. But I don't have to say to anybody else.
Have you guys noticed that, by the way, good answer out of Pete. Have you guys noticed that all of the guys who are Saban disciples, one of Saban's crutches is, he says, I. So he'll say a sentence, I, and then another sentence, I. All of the guys that are Saban disciples use that. They use that as their crutch. You'll get an eye out of them all the time. And Golding just did it like 6 times there, and I picked up on it. They're doing the very best they can in an impossible spot. And I know it's easy to paint Kiffin as the villain in all of this. And if you want to, fine. He went for what he perceived to be the better job. But in the meantime, he did allow for coaches to coach this Ole Miss team. And not leave him high and dry. Did I believe that? Can you imagine if they would have let him coach this team? Coach this team while also filling an LSU roster in the portal?
It was wild. He thought he'd be able to do that.
Good Lord.
And we'll hear from one of the old friends of the program.
I got ranches.
Later on about this. Whether it's a thing or not a thing. Old Jimbo's response to it.
Where do you guys come down on that?
Well, I think the conversation that was had yesterday about Lane just doing it just to try to save face, not thinking that Ole Miss would have made it this far, I think is valid. And now that they have made it this far, he's only letting 2 of the coaches of, I think, the 6 that previously coached in their game against Georgia. Because the rest of them do need to recruit, and the rest of them do need to be working for their current employer. Mm-hmm. And I bring up Todd Graves and the $9 to $17 billion valuation he has, because that's how you can kind of get away with this if you're Lane and the rest of his coaching staff, because all of that bonus money can be paid out by LSU. And contractually, that's what LSU said. So if Ole Miss wins the national championship, $1 million is going to Lane for the job he did coaching the Rebels this past season. Mm-hmm. But LSU's paying that, or I guess Raising Cane's is paying for that.
Yeah.
I do think when Kiffin first said this and wanted to coach and let these guys coach, I do think it was probably out of genuine care and love for those players. He wanted those players to get what they deserved, but it never made sense for any of the parties involved to do this. Like, Kiffin's got to start working on his LSU roster now, and he needs all these guys helping him. And Ole Miss should have looked ahead and said, man, it's great to have these guys here now, but we may lose them moving forward.
Yes.
And how difficult will that be for us?
Yeah, it was all so chaotic. I don't think anybody thought what it would look like in a month. Right? I mean, he's trying to decide where he wants to coach next year in the middle of all of this. Ole Miss is just thrilled to be in the playoff. They're preparing for a whole playoff game against Ole Miss. They're not thinking what's going to happen on January 8th when we're in a national semifinal. Like, how many of these guys are going to help us? These guys are being paid by LSU. So they're being paid by LSU to coach Ole Miss. Like, that's happening. By the way, LSU's chief rival is probably Alabama, but Ole Miss is certainly one of them. It's certainly one of them that's out there. So they're going to be competing for players and all of those things going forward. So they are directly helping one of their competitors and a guy they're going to have to recruit against in the portal and in high school. They're directly helping them attempt to win a national title. On the other side of it is Miami. And this is official. Miami is back, and they were headed in this direction for a long time. Mario Cristobal just kind of needed a signature win. He got it. He got it last week when they beat Ohio State. I do like Miami more than Ole Miss in the game tonight. I do like how Mario Cristobal has handled all of this. He continues to be asked if the U is back. Here was his most recent answer to it.
So it's been a 20 plus year journey to return and not take Miami back, but move Miami forward. We've earned our way here, and we still have to earn, every single play that the opportunity we have tomorrow night. So are we excited and enthused about the progress? Absolutely. And do we have a ways to go? We're not even close to where we need to be, but we're certainly excited to move forward and keep pressing on.
He's, I don't know if the U ever could have got back in the old system. In the old system, where it was about facilities and various amenities that a player could get on a campus without direct pay for play, in the old days, I think they dug too big of a hole. And I don't think Cristobal could have done it. I don't think anybody, save for Urban and Saban, could have gone down there. But their situation down there is so unique in terms of the distance from stadium to campus, and it's a small private school, all of those things. Like, I think it's a museum program, if not for NIL. But they have NIL, and they've used it to their full capacity. And now it's one of those things where, as long as there is a give a damn to continue to inject money with NIL and to pay for players at the highest level, and they're doing what Indiana's doing. I mean, they're going to have a new quarterback that they're paying for next year. Carson Beck moves on. They're going to get another one. There's somebody who's coming in there. Might be Damon Williams. Who knows? Nobody knows. But there's going to be somebody who gets that job, and that's going to be their model going forward. What's your guys' read on this one?
I think Miami wins, but I'd like Ole Miss to cover. I think it's close because I think more so hoping you get another incredible game out of Chambliss.
So after Miami beat Ohio State, immediately after, I would have said Miami wins this game. But after watching Trinidad Chambliss play, his ability to extend plays and get away from the rush makes me think that he could do some damage against this Miami team, because Miami is not nearly as good in the secondary as Georgia was. So I think Ole Miss gets it done. There's something about them. I think this Lane Kiffin situation has kind of galvanized this program, and I think Trinidad Chambliss can neutralize that Miami rush. I think Ole Miss gets it done.
Be crazy. I mean, that is just, if it's Ole Miss Indiana, you can't wrap your head around that as someone that's followed this sport and covered it for that long. Miami is a 3-point favorite heading into the game tonight. You like your Buckeye jerseys? They're going to come with some advertising in the very near future. We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Anthony Roth.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
People, I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Can't get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
It's a new year.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead, and have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA-acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
After putting up with Tom Tiberi for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hey, it's your Uncle Bo here. When it comes to buying a ring, you don't guess, you go with the best. And that's why I trust my friends at Diamond Seller. Ready to pop the question or walk down the aisle? Only one true jeweler for a moment this big. And for nearly 80 years, Diamond Seller has been helping guys get it right. With luxury designer collections, expert in-house designers who can build a ring that's strong, timeless, and truly one of a kind. And man-to-man, they make it easy. No pressure, no confusion. Pretty nice, guys. Just great advice and the right ring. And this is all about quality, trust, and getting it done right the first time. That happens when you do what I do and you go see my friends at Diamond Seller. Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center, online anytime at DiamondSeller.com. We do have a little breaking news. Some good news on the portal front. Linebacker out of Wisconsin. What is the name on this guy?
Christian Allegro.
Thank you. Sometimes on the Twitter feed, I accidentally hit for you instead of following, and then I end up in this alternate universe of chaotic nonsense.
Yeah, the worst is like the recommended feed. It's like, no, I have what I want. Give me that, please. And then even on the things that you want, it gives you like the most popular of that thing. I'm like, no, I need the most recent stuff. Like this is our generation's AP ticker. I don't need what somebody said 2 days ago that I follow. I can, if I need that, I'll go find that. But
it's so much worse. So Christian Allegro is a Wisconsin linebacker transfer, 2 year starter, 120 tackles, 8 sacks during his time in Madison. That's a good get for threes. And my hunch is he would be now one of the linebacker triumvirate along with Peyton Pierce and Riley Pettijohn, right? I mean, that's kind of how we see this going, that he would be one of those guys. So, that's how that goes. And that's a good get for threes and the Buckeyes in the portal, a very nice get for them. Yesterday, In full disclosure, of course, we are partner here with Learfield, and very happy to be. I've worked with Chad and those guys, worked with them for years, the best guys. This was a deal that was announced Wednesday as part of an extension of the Learfield deal with Ohio State that had agreed to a multi-year rights contract extension with Ohio State. Learfield revealed that Ohio State's engaging brands are highly interested in pursuing a jersey patch partnership with Ohio State in anticipation of the NCAA rule change. So that's something that you're going to see throughout college athletics coming in the 26-27 season. Again, why? Found money. That's why. The extension will run through 2036. The Learfield statement adds, as one of the most celebrated schools in college athletics, boasting 36 sports, parenthetically by me for now, a jersey patch opportunity with Ohio State would represent one of the most highly coveted sponsorship partnerships in college athletics. I think that's probably very, very true. Sponsored jersey patches could be coming to college sports as soon as the 26-27 season. Sports Business Journal reported last week that the NCAA's Division I cabinet is slated to discuss allowing sponsored jersey patches during competition next week's NCAA convention. Multiple schools have already sold jersey patch sponsorships in anticipation of the change. LSU agreed to a jersey patch deal with Woodside Energy. UNLV last week struck a deal with Accesso Biologics to be the first official jersey partner there, whatever that is. I guess we just said it on a Columbus radio show, so they win a little bit. Yeah, I mean, this is, in the world of found money, this is where you're at. It's crazy as we go through all of these things, because the, what I was going to say is probably the most valuable brand, or on a short list of most valuable brands on the entire planet, is Real Madrid, and their jersey has had a sponsorship on it as long as I can remember. They've had it. I mean, Bwin and Siemens and all these other things through the years, they've had a jersey sponsor. And so this is in professional sports, in European soccer, it's been going on for 20 plus years at least. We see it in the NBA. We see it in Major League Baseball. We see it in the NHL. We have yet to see it in the NFL. And my hunch is there, just because at this point they make so much money that they probably don't need to make any more right now, but they will. It'll happen here too. The only difference between all of those examples and this one is all of those are professional sports. And the adults in the room continue to insist on not calling this professional sports. That's the rub. It's professional sports in every way, except the one.
You make it so much easier on yourselves. But for 25, 30 years, they've been dragged kicking and screaming into, and by they, I mean the decision makers and the powers that be in college athletics, to the point that we're at now, where everything's on fire and it's all chaos. And wonderful for us, because content's our job, content is king, and this content's pretty salacious. If you were to just make them employees, or if you were to separate football from the other parts of the athletic department that you want to keep student-athlete moniker on, fine. But just if you call it what this is, you will see it be so much easier to handle once the actual before, during, and after the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know I'm going in reverse just a little bit here, but going back to the jersey patches, I don't understand why that's such a big deal to people. Who cares? Like, you have them on all of the bowl game jerseys or the CFP jerseys, and you don't even really notice them. And I'll even take it one step further. If you could make a little more money, let's just give them the whole front of the basketball jersey, because the Ohio State basketball jerseys, other than their script Buckeyes and the old Jimmy Jacksons, are not good at all. And they haven't been good for a long time. So a nationwide patch there, or a Huntington Bank, I don't think any of that could look worse than what it is. So just give them the whole front if it gets you some more money.
You're choosing violence on the Buckeye basketball uniforms.
Sorry. I just don't like them. They're really bad.
No, they botched them. They have great. They have the Clark Kellogg scripts and the Jimmy J. Grays.
So
like,
good.
Just do that and wear that, and it's pretty easy. That's exactly what it should look like. On the football, I'm with you on the football side of thing. Like, this is going to they are doing everything and they can to avoid all the rest of these things, to avoid the one thing, which is, this is professional sports. That's the one thing that they're doing everything and they can to avoid. And every coach, if you ask them, would you want this? Would you want a professional model? Collectively bargained, revenue shared, contracts. You'll be held to the same standard that a player's is. They all would say yes. But no one has the stones to actually do it. Sankey's your best hope. Petiti's wandering in the woods. I mean, I don't... What has he done other than nonsense?
He's
just wandering in the woods.
The next best expansion plan. for the playoff. 30? 40 now.
Well, who's stopping? Why stop there? But let's have the playoffs start in October, and we'll run it through March, but still not call it professional sports.
Would this plan of making them employees be able to add more inventory or more content?
Because
then I would like to hear about it, but if it's not going to make more content, I don't...
It's funny that Nick Saban is the one, you know, every time he's on College Game Day, it feels like he's got another rant against the state of college athletics. And then ESPN and their partners will come out and be like, see how many Nick Saban assistants are in the college football semifinals. It's like, call them. Kirby's not real busy right now. Call him up, because you have to get the coaches to be the catalyst for this change.
I don't even know if they've all lobbied for this. Urban lobbied for this years ago. Saban lobbied for this years ago. Like, people have wanted this NFL model for a long time. We've been talking about it on this show since Threes and I were doing it. That's like 7 years ago we were talking about all this.
And in fairness to those guys, I don't know if they were doing it for the good of anything. They just wanted more control. They wanted to be able to control everything.
Of course. Yes. They want contracts. They want people held accountable. They want that. That's it. How do you think about this, folks, as we head to break here? How do you hold a kid accountable who's making more money than you and has no contract? How do you coach him? Good luck. Not easy. We'll open up the mailbag coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. This
weekend. I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car... maybe not. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Connects. The girl who walks for hours to bring home the family's water. The school she can't attend most days. Her little brother's belly laugh. Her dreams of being a teacher, an engineer, the mayor. It all connects. But at Child Fund, so do we. Through everything we do, so every child can grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Because we need each other. Learn more at childfund.org.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Do you have...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call
1-800-FURNACE. And people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State's landed another player from the transfer portal. Wisconsin linebacker Christian Allegro committed to Ohio State this morning. The 6'3", 240-pound linebacker had 49 tackles and 4 sacks in 2025. He'll have 1 year of eligibility in Columbus. Allegro's the fifth portal person to join Ohio State. Former UTSA wideout Devin McCune committed on Wednesday. The portal window closes next Friday. In college basketball last night, Ohio State sophomore guard Jelani Cambridge scored 41 at Illinois as the Buckeyes rolled past the Illini 78-69. Jake Diebler's squad begins a two-game road trip tonight at Oregon. Tip-off there is 10:30. Here on The Fan with coverage at 9:30. Buckeyes will be without forward Brandon Knoll for the foreseeable future. He injured his foot in Monday's loss at Nebraska. To Nebraska, I should say. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday edition. Paul Feinbaum coming up in 28 minutes from now on Portal Chaos and two big games, starting tonight with Ole Miss and Miami, and then tomorrow night a Big Ten showdown between Oregon and Indiana. So you have that to look forward to, which is very, very nice. Very curious to see what the ratings will be here locally for those. Typically, we will watch any college football that's on. But I'm curious to see what the give a damn level is around here. Between then and now, time to open up that mailbag. Hit it, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. And you got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present emails.
All right, this one, this was actually, one, this one came from social, and it was Rusty who asks, why can't schools make NIL contracts run from first spring practice to first spring practice with language stating there is a buyout to enter the portal paid out by the new school player wishing to leave, just like Japanese baseball teams charge a fee to talk to kids? Well, you could, if you just call them employees. That's it.
Sounds like an employment agreement.
That's it.
So, in the Damon Williams thing.
Yep.
And I would have to read in more to it. They said there was a buyout in that contract, but it was like whatever Washington, there was no set number. It was like whatever Washington said they wanted it to be.
Sure.
Or something like that. That'll it was really up. Weird and different, and I don't know. And that, I mean, that whole situation's another thing, and I don't know how you have buyouts in these NIL deals. I guess it would be if kids leave, but.
Let me ask you this. The big claim that they're going for in that Damon, if you don't know the Damon Williams case, he's the quarterback at Washington. We talked about him for the week leading up to that game. He's a really nice player. He, over the weekend, put out a statement saying that he was re-signing with Washington for another year and then put his name in the portal Monday with the do not contact tag, meaning that he found another home that was more lucrative than the offer that he had at Washington. That's certainly what we're led to believe. Washington is claiming that it's a breach of contract. Washington is claiming that there was tampering.
Yeah.
How can you tamper with someone who is not an employee? Who's going to enforce it? How can you enforce a contract for someone who is not an employee? You can't. You lose in a court of law. That contract's worth the paper it was printed on. That's it. That's the list. There isn't anything. If somebody just, and you always have to do this, as long as we stay in the student athlete world, if your child is at a university, and let's say they're excelling in business, and they're up at Ohio State, and the Wharton School gets wind of it and says, we got a place for you here if you want it at Penn. Can the kid transfer? Sure. So can an athlete. Until they put the distinction in between the two, nothing changes.
Also, how do Quincy Porter and Aaron Scott and these guys that are leaving Ohio State think they can get more money elsewhere? Well, because other schools are telling them they'll give them that much money. Like, they're all being tampered with.
Lawless Everyone's capitalism, tampering. Kids. When there's capitalism without law, this is what you get. You're worth what somebody's willing to pay you.
Won't the government come help and save us from this?
They're doing so well with everything. This one from the great Nick, the great Snagglepuss. So he spent New Year's Eve in Great Beach, so I'm incredibly jealous of that, which is the Panhandle 30A, great place. There's a trend with Day in the kicker situation. I don't know what the trend fully is, but our kicking has sucked under him. The Noah Ruggles thing wasn't a thought of mine until I began this email, but it serves as evidence of this trend. I don't know who the kicking coach is. I don't know there's a specific actual kicking coach. What I'm throwing out there, can someone get a hold of Mike Nugent and find out if he has the energy to help our kickers? It's such a psychological thing. Maybe he can help get into guys' heads and help teach something. Because the amazing part is... and then he goes into some personal stuff there. But the idea is, why can't they get the kicking right? I think it's a very valid question. I don't have an answer for it. I don't know what Mike Nugent is up to. I'll be honest with you, though. It reminded me of all of the interaction I get anytime a Browns player misses a kick. And everybody wants to bring back Phil Dawson at 55 to come kick. Because Phil made clutch kicks, right? So I don't know why the kicking has been the struggle that it was. And he continues in here that, I agree with him. It did impact the way that they called that game because they did not have confidence in the kicker. And it changed. And changed the way they called the game. It changed the way that you approach the game. So, yeah, it I would think it would be a pretty high priority among about 1,000 high priorities up there at the moment. This one was sent by Monty. It was sent before we played Miami. Monty should have gone to Vegas. Hey, Bo. Huge fan of you and the boys in the show. I hope I'm wrong, but this Buckeye team doesn't give me the same energy last year's team did, and the reason is the quarterback position. There's almost nothing I can knock Julian for. He and Stroud are 1A, 1B, the best passer to come through the university. That said, I think CJ loses that Indiana game in the same fashion Julian did. However, I'm almost certain Justin Fields, JT Barrett, even Braxton Miller win that same game in blowout fashion. It's because they could make every necessary throw and those quarterbacks run the ball. I don't know that those three could make every necessary throw the way CJ and Julian do, but at the same time, I understand your point you're making here. This is year 7 of Ryan Day, and we're still watching him handicap the offense because he doesn't want his quarterbacks running. Ohio State played 6-on-5 against a great Indiana team, and Indiana knew they had the advantage because they knew the quarterback wasn't going to run. Tyvus called it week of the game on the morning show. How he would play Ohio State, and Indiana did just that. I'm not referring to one play when I say the QB must run. I'm talking about every opportunity where Julian could have picked up 4 yards and slid and kept the team on schedule. Instead, he took 5 sacks. Yes, Tegra had a bad game, but those other QBs I mentioned erased bad line play, and the quarterback run helps the run game overall, which has struggled all season. Now we face a Miami team with a defensive line that will get to the quarterback. We know that the quarterback run is not a factor, so it will be our 3 receivers, 1 tight end, 1 running back versus 2 corners, 2 safeties, 2 linebackers all game. If that line has a bad day, we won't repeat. This is Ryan Day in a nutshell. Even though Will didn't run much last year, teams had to account for it. Ryan has to stop handicapping his offense. No matter how good his receivers are, we will get nowhere without a run game, and that includes the quarterbacks. It's just that simple. He sent that before the game. Now, the reason for the loss was far from Julian. But I do think if you think of those two games, and this was something that will come with maturity and more games and experience, neither Carson Beck nor Fernando Mendoza is a running quarterback. But in the Indiana game and in the Miami game, on the last drive specifically, they kept drives alive by getting first downs with their feet, by getting flushed out of the pocket and getting upfield and getting first downs. And that was a part of the game that we saw Julian have against Michigan that wasn't there against Indiana and Miami. And I think it'll come with experience. I think he'll get there. But he's a redshirt freshman, and he's still in his process. I think the experience, I don't think that he's unwilling to run at all. I mean, we saw it in the Michigan game. He's willing to run. And I don't think you want him running. But I do think, if you think of what Beck did and what Mendoza did, when there was opportunity, they extended drives by doing it. And in both instances, it was a backbreaker.
I forget which game it was this season where Sain picked up a big 3rd and 5. He got like 8 yards with his legs. And I said, that right there is what you were begging C.J. Stroud to do. If you see Green, yeah, go for it. And I think, now nobody knows what 2026 is going to look like, but I think that's one thing that's part of his game, especially when you go into the fall and you don't have to have a quarterback competition, you can start to iron some of those things out. Because we've seen Sain be athletic. I just think in those two games where you had Miami and Indiana not have to do much with their linebackers, it made for really tough outs.
I know it's tough, especially at that position of quarterback, but I do think sometimes, like, guys got to where they got to by playing ball and playing ball the way they know how. Mm-hmm. And Julian ran quite a bit. If you look at his high school highlights, there was a lot of plays where he would take off and running. Yeah. I think sometimes we try to coach what makes these guys great out of them. And then the other thing that does is it makes them think.
Yeah.
And we've already heard this, when you think, you're already playing slower. And maybe that's something that's happened with Justin Fields a little bit, is people trying to make him a better quarterback have made him think twice about his athleticism and just what he does and going and playing ball. And I think sometimes that hurts people. I think you have that a little bit with Stefanski, where he wants players to do a certain thing, run the play how it's supposed to be. But sometimes guys just got to go do their natural ability and play ball.
Yeah. And I think Julian will get there. But that was a pretty prescient email. I mean, that was basically a lot of what happened in the game. This one from the great Buckeye John. I appreciate this. He said, I thought you might find this interesting. Is this due to competition from High Bank? Jim Beam halted bourbon production at Kentucky Distillery for a year. I'm sure that we had a great deal to do with that at High Bank, but I also think what's happening is that's pretty simple. They're just trying to create demand. That's what that is. Create a little demand here. Finally, this one from Mike. I had the conversation about Buddy and the story about my wife thinking he had ringworm and all of this stuff. By the way, I'll tell you what it is in a second. But I said that I don't remember ever taking our dogs to the vet. And he writes, and it's a very good question. Is it perhaps that you had vets coming to the Ponderosa regularly, horses, cattle, that you never took dogs to the vet? We did have vets coming regularly for horses and cows, but I don't remember them ever looking at the dogs. Ever. So I think both can be true. So here's what happened to Buddy Garrity. Water got in his ear. God knows how. Water got in his ear, created an ear infection, which then he decided to scratch because he's a dog. Once he scratched it, it started to become an open wound and oozed and looked, for in the eyes of my 14-year-old, like ringworm. He continued to itch it, took him to the vet. They're like, oh, this is what it is. You got to get him to stop itching it. Good luck, right? How are you going to do that? So they cut the hair around the injury, and now he's itching it 1,000 times more. Like 1,000 times. So now it's a massive mess on his neck. I don't really know how to get him to stop doing it. Tried to give him a bone to distract, and that's where we are now. So there's your update on the dog. But yes, I can. I don't remember ever taking our dogs to the vet. I don't know if they just got by or what it was. They raised a little, built different out there on the Ponderosa, I'll tell you that. We have a coyote update I'll share with you in the neighborhood coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the doorknob fart game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
You sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime. You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA-acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
morning and the day, if you wanted to listen to the fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on the Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
And I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm the innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Could see some patchy lingering fog today, otherwise mostly cloudy and mild with highs in the mid to upper 50s. For tonight, lows in the upper 40s to low 50s, gusty winds, and we'll see showers developing going toward daybreak on Friday. For Friday, we could see scattered showers and even isolated thunderstorms. It will be significantly warmer and breezy with highs in the mid to low 60s. For the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
You guys have these, like, neighborhood or, like, area group chats? You have this stuff?
I will not participate in those.
No.
Not a chance.
But you're on them?
No. My condo, facility has like a Facebook chat. I'm out.
Oh, God.
Nope. I will not join.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I could, I mean, there's a lot of things I'd change. But one thing, that if I could eliminate group text chains, that would be near the top of my list. I find them to be the bane of existence. The idea that everybody on it, when somebody puts, and this is, you know, I don't know, this is the neighborhood one, so it's, you know, 10, 11 houses, whatever it is. But like, the idea that every time somebody makes a statement, everybody who's on the text chain has to give a thumbs up to the statement, like an acknowledgement of delivery. This isn't launching missiles from a submarine. You don't need two people's keys to turn at the same time. Like, just, okay, I got it. Side rant.
It's an important one. If you're part of those group chats, you don't need, if it's been confirmed, you don't need to add, you don't need to like a comment. You don't need to add an emoji to it. Just let it ride.
Let it ride, man. It was delivered. It's 2026 now, kids. Text messages are delivered. There's no ambiguity in that anymore. Do you guys put red tickets on your text?
Like read receipts?
Yeah.
I have them on.
You have them on?
Yeah. It gets messed up when you've got Android people.
Yeah. Good. Bake. Oh, thanks, good. Bake.
I can't.
Really appreciate that. Thank you.
I turn those off. I don't want people to know if I'm ignoring them, which I do a lot sometimes.
For being honest. So when I say get this guest and then I don't hear from you for 3 hours, that's, you're just choosing not.
Well, if you didn't hear from me, it means I was trying to get him. Maybe. I was working my hardest.
Email's been sent or a text been sent.
All right. So this is 7:30 this morning. Here we go. No names. When letting my dog out at 7:01 this morning, a coyote twice the size of Luna, and I'm not sure what type of dog Luna is, was running full speed towards her. I apologize if anyone heard me screaming. I didn't. The coyote wasn't initially phased at all. Yellaway, now the responses come. Yellaway, we've never seen one around here. Then another one, they're really starting to be a problem. Always seems to be in the morning. This one, then, so now we got Ring camera footage of coyotes that are being outlined like Zapruder film. You see this coyote is coming across the garden while little Timmy is over here running around. Okay. Then we get so happy you were able to scare him away. Then we get an animal control personnel that somebody has talked to in the neighborhood about the coyotes. And the recommendation from the animal control was go outside with a dog and shine a bright light. Yeah, that's undefeated. That is undefeated. Now we had the foremost expert on coyotes on the show around a year ago at this time, because we were dealing with some urban coyotes. And one thing that we had, and I think it's still, is it still the avatar on our show Twitter, was my reaction to something that he said?
It is.
It is.
Yeah. I can't remember what elicited that reaction, what it was. If it was the way, like their patterns or something, like the urban coyotes, like how many of them are out there. I'm a little bit more rural, so mine are living in the wilderness. Here's one thing that I will, before I make fun of everybody, here's one thing that I will acknowledge that I was wrong about in regard to the eastern coyote. Coyotes out west are the size of like a border collie, like 25, 30 pounds at most. They're terribly skittish. And if you go anywhere near them, they are panic. They're gone. They want no part of it. They're not used to people. They don't want to be around people. They don't really want to be around anybody. They kind of run in their own circle and hang, and they don't want to be seen. They're mostly nocturnal. You just never really see them. If you see them, they're gone. They're ghost. They're much smaller. So I was doing some recon on eastern coyotes, and they're substantially bigger. So the claim by one of the neighbors that the coyote could have been upwards of 55 pounds, that's massive, first of all. That would be a massive one. But the coyotes here are bigger than they are out west. So that's something I got wrong. I still stand by that mostly they would be terrified if a human engaged with them in any way, shape, or form, unless they're rabid. And then all bets are off. But as long as they're not rabid, if you go outside, like the animal control guy says, if you see one at night and you go outside with a bigger dog and you have a flashlight, they're gone. Like, you don't have to worry about them. I don't sense there's anything of that. The other thing that you got to be smarter about with this is don't have your receptacles outside, because what are they? They're scavengers, man. They're looking for snacks. So if you take your garbage out, like the night before the garbage truck comes, guess who's going to go look for stuff in the garbage? Wile E. Coyote. That's his operation. So this is where we're at. Now, they will take a small dog. I mean, nature versus nurture, Lodge. Nature always wins. They will take a small dog. Speaking of that, I watched about an hour of Wedding Crashers with the oldest last night.
Oh, what a heater.
He's 14. He's 14. And it was, I mean, I just can't tell you how valuable flipping is. I was just looking for something for like an hour before bed. And I caught it. I caught it right at Secretary Cleary's wedding. Right at the wedding. So right before crab cakes and football. And there's only a little bit of nudity that I had, the awkward nudity that I kind of had to meander around with him just when.
This was on a cable channel?
It was on HBO.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Well, I mean, he's probably seen it.
Let the boy watch.
Well, remember, I did that with Let the Boy Watch What Is Consecrated Here. Young Gabriel. I did walk out of the room for Under Siege. So he has seen it. So he knows he got an idea. So he goes, I've never seen this all the way through. And I said, well, I think this is the funniest movie that's ever been made. I really think it is. And I think the hour of it, from crab cakes and football to The Painting Was a Gift, is the best. It's about exactly an hour. Is about the best hour, funniest hour of movie that I've ever seen. The only down part is when they go do the walk on the beach. That's kind of the only one that's a little bit of a downer. But everything else is just heaters. The quail population, the whole thing. Like, that, it's all of it. So he and I ended up watching like an hour. But the only thing that was a little dicey that I had forgotten was there is a... Vince Vaughn tied to the bed and Gloria. I had forgot a little bit about that. So that was the only time where I'm like, I'm going to go get a glass of water and enjoy this. But then when I came back down, it was Todd in there with Vince, which was incredible.
It's play tummy sticks.
It holds up. So it good. Absolutely holds up. Every bit as great as you remember it to be, it holds up. And I do think, like, for that general, I think it's like the way people view Caddyshack. To me, that's how I view it. To me, it's that classic that it holds up in that way. We'll have some fun with Mr. Feinbaum on the port. You think it's chaotic here. Imagine the people at Alabama and Georgia complaining about what's been happening the last week. We'll get his view on that and the two national championship semifinals coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival. That man is Jake Trotter.
And it's not who we're talking about. We talked to Jake yesterday. This is, I don't know if, Paul, have you ever roasted lamb on a spit or run the Rocky River Greek Festival?
I plead not guilty. I haven't, no.
Hey, man, what was more chaotic following Bama's loss to Indiana in such decisive fashion? The complaining about that loss and the shock of it, the reality of it, or everything that has happened down there with the Blue Bloods in the portal in terms of losing their players and not yet signing guys who are in the portal?
Yeah. Listen, you're familiar with what we do. Mm-hmm. I hate to say I've never gone through anything like last Friday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, but I haven't. The Alabama meltdown made me forget that Georgia lost and Ohio State lost.
Yeah.
Bo, I mean, I had people, sorry, I'm out in the desert here and I feel like crap. I had people who 3 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago after the Oklahoma-Alabama game say, we got the right guy, he's not going to Michigan, literally calling for his firing, the athletic director's firing, and begging Ty Simpson to leave. It is one of the most incredible turnarounds since we talked last week when I was in New Orleans that I have ever seen and experienced.
This is the big disconnect that I'm dealing with up here, because people up here are in a panic. Like, wait, how did we lose to Miami? We got 20 guys in the portal. Like, what's going on? And the reality is, it feels like Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia and Texas and some of these blue blood programs are taking a very different approach to the portal than the nouveau riche is. And the nouveau riche is Indiana, and it's Texas Tech. And they have these massive boosters that are throwing money at things, and they have their portal situations figured out pretty quickly. And I think it's really difficult for fans to understand really what's going on here.
Well, they do, and then some are miscommunicated to by media and people orchestrating the media by saying we didn't really want those guys anyway. That's not really true. An Alabama source is quoted in one of the publications today saying we lost 18 guys, probably two guys we really wanted to keep. You recruited those guys. You wanted those guys. It's your problem that you couldn't develop them or make them work. I'm not as concerned about Ohio State, and I'm not just saying that to patronize. Ohio State won the national championship 51 weeks ago. Georgia hasn't won one in 3 years. Alabama hasn't won one in 5 years. And I think there is a distinct difference.
Before we get to the games that are taking place over the next couple of days, do you think that this will cause or is it causing in real time a rethinking of how to build a roster? And what I'm getting at here is Ohio State, Georgia, Bama have been the best recruiting teams over the last 15 years for Ohio State and Alabama. And for the last five, for if you put Georgia in there, better than that, since Kirby's been there at Georgia, they've been recruiting at a level that's just a little bit different than everybody else. I said multiple times on my show over the last week or so, I would not get into a bidding war with a 17-year-old anymore, Paul. I wouldn't. I don't think you need to. Indiana's recruiting class in 2025 is ranked 49th, and they're the favorite to win the national title. It's about portal. It's about proven players. Do you think you will see a shift with those schools down there? It feels like Ohio State's trying to shift in real time to that. Do you think Georgia and Bama will follow suit, and do they have the finances to follow suit?
I don't think Alabama has the finances. Georgia may. What's interesting is that so many celebrations occur in December, used to be in February, but it's important to get those players in there. But I mean, I've said this 100 times to you, but I'll state the most obvious thing. The celebration when Caleb Downs and Julian Sayin signed with Alabama was fantastic. You know where they mm-hmm. were, hey, they've been and where they have played. And, you know, by the way, if you take those two players and put them back on Alabama's roster, they're probably playing tomorrow night against Indiana because sure. In some ways they're that impactful. But I think if you're smart, you make sure you go after important players. But what's happening right now is the most important, and not to defend Lane Kiffin, but that's why he's doing what he's doing versus coaching in Glendale tonight.
Yeah, and I actually think, and I know it's easy to go at him, and a lot of people do, and he's ripe for it, and he invites a lot of it on himself. But these coaches, a couple of them still who are coaching for Ole Miss tonight against Miami, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, they are being paid by LSU, correct?
They are. And I know that. I mean, there's so many sides of that argument. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. You can't say that it's not important for those coaches to be in Baton Rouge a week ago. They needed to be. Mm-hmm. Whether they could make it out here tonight and coach, they could. But I think for the most part, Pete Golding has already moved on from most of those guys. You know what coaching rosters look like. I mean, there's so many people walking around an Ohio State football complex, mm-hmm. and they moved Joe Judge, former coach of the Giants, New York Giants, into a position. I mean, I think he's probably capable of handling a position. He was an analyst, and yeah, it's a new team, but for the most part, I mean, this is a more vexing game for Ole Miss because they had seen Tulane earlier in the year and they had seen Georgia. I mean, that's pretty hard to play your first two games in the playoff as repeat games.
There's no way Lane thought they were going to beat Georgia, did he? I mean, isn't that part of it?
No, because I think Lane Kiffin is such a voyeur that if he really thought he would have been here tonight, he would have said, you know what, I'll pass on LSU. I'll get Alabama in a year or two. But he didn't think so. And just think about that. I'm glad you brought that up. The idea of Lane Kiffin in a national semifinal. I mean, this is a big game. It would be 10 times bigger.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I get why he went to LSU, because you got Raising Cane's money and you got to have some billionaires who are willing to throw a bunch of millions at you so you can make these rosters work. So I get all of it, but no, there's no question he thought he was not going to get to this path. There's no way. There's no way. So this brings us to the game. We got a firsthand look at this Miami operation last week, and they're very similar to Indiana in that they are incredibly veteran and talented, especially up front, and they really bullied Ohio State at the lines of scrimmage. And it was maybe it shouldn't have been shocking because we saw what Indiana did in the Big Ten championship game, and it kind of played that way out in the game against Miami. As you look at this breakdown tonight, the one thing I keep coming back to, though, that's different is Trinidad Chambliss, which is the craziest story ever, that a guy who played D2 football is somehow trying to get another year of eligibility, one of the most lucratively paid players next year, if that indeed does happen. And now, to me, it feels like he's the difference maker tonight, because he's that one guy who can – he's not afraid to move around in the pocket and pick up yards with his feet. Can he be good enough tonight to get Ole Miss to a national championship game? And me saying that out loud has to be the damnedest thing for you to hear, because I know about LSU's history, and there's none of this in it.
Yeah, I may be too much of a traditionalist not to think so, because, I mean, Bo, I still can't get over what I saw last Thursday night in New Orleans. Those three straight plays are as incredible as anything I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think it can be done again. And I realize how good Miami is, and certainly everyone listening in Ohio understands that. And I think they're still really good. And they've had a chance. I mean, by the way, I don't know if you can go, you know, go to school on Trinidad Chambliss, but they have a better idea of what he's doing right now, because he did a lot of that during the season, but not against an elite team. He did it. He's up against I think the best defense he has seen all year.
Yes, I would agree with that. As we go to the game on Friday night, you're going to get an all Big Ten affair, as strange as all of that sounds, as it's Indiana and Oregon. Yes, Indiana, the losingest program in the history of our fine sport, is the favorite to win this thing. They obviously put it on Bama, and everybody saw that a week ago. And I just have to – I said this on our show here, Paul. It's some of it's on me, too, because I just see that helmet, and I can't take it seriously. I do now, and I have for about a month or so now. And to me – they're the most complete. They're veteran. They're all of these things. And everything Cignetti said that he would do, he's done. What do you make of that one on Friday?
I agree. I sat there on national television last week picking Alabama to win. And Bo, I believed it to a point. I believed it only because I didn't trust Indiana. Mm-hmm. I do now. They proved that Alabama's not a bad team, and they eviscerated them. And I'm not saying that it will happen to that degree. And I'm also one, and you're closer to Oregon than I am, but I'd like to see Dan Lanning win a monster game. I've yet to see it.
I think it's pretty crazy, but you're kind of in a situation, and Oregon's been the model for the nouveau riche over the last 25 years, where they're the establishment. Over the last quarter century, they've become the establishment of these four teams left. Like, they're the one that, look, well, this is kind of how we used to do it, is Oregon selling uniforms and facilities. So, yeah, I think it's got all of those things. And it's just, I'll tell you this, when people would ask me when I came up here, they said, well, if we do this thing, like compare SEC programs to Big Ten, like to me, Ole Miss was Indiana. Like, they're very similar in terms of the feel for them. Ole Miss has a little bit more football history. Obviously, Indiana's got the better basketball history, but very similar universities. The idea that those two teams could play for a national title, I can't even wrap my head around that, buddy.
No, I can't either. I like Miami. I like Indiana in this game, in these two games, but I just think we've seen so much, and I think it's good for the sport. I know one thing though, and I'll just tell your audience, there's a lot more on the line tonight, from where I live, than Ole Miss getting the national championship game. You've already seen some rumblings. But if midnight tonight strikes and Miami's going to Miami, those of us who hold the SEC on our back are going to be in traction.
Fact. Good talking to you. Thanks for battling through. Hope you start to feel better, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
A pleasure. Thank you, Bo.
There he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN, SEC Network, joining us on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll get a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends, ready?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Incova Insurance. Your team coming out west for a couple of games with both Oregon and Washington. Jake, just in a general sense, what kind of acclimation do you have to go through with the team just to get adjusted to changing time zones like this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, just making sure nutrition, hydration, you know, recovery, all of that stuff is operating at a high level. You're not going to get fully adjusted, right, and in a short amount of time for the first game. But we'll be ready. You know, I think this is, guys want to play in the NBA. This is what the NBA is like. So we lean on sports science a lot to make sure we're preparing our guys to be the best.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Incova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Incova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Incova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Incova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Incova on your team. Visit Incova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Jake, as your team's in the midst of a long trip out here to both Oregon and Washington, can long trips like this be where teams can get closer?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, and this is a team that's already really close. But it's going to give us an opportunity to, you know, sit down, talk through some things, kind of, you know, make a couple tweaks and evaluate areas where we all can be just a little bit better. And then we got to go out and execute that. So we get some extended time together. We'll make the most of it.
Is there time that involves just making an experience out of it all?
Certainly. I think this is a, you know, probably a part of the country where a lot of guys have never been. And, you know, want them to get out, walk around a little bit and see what it's like. But, you know, this is very much a business trip. So we got to make sure that we are handling our business at the highest level.
Yeah, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
When it comes to all-wheel drive vehicles, nobody gives you more to choose from than Toyota, including the best-selling Camry and the best-selling RAV4.
You've also got Toyota's five brothers, which include the best-selling Tacoma and the legendary new 4Runner.
All-wheel drive gives you the traction you need for confident driving on any road, in any weather.
With 25 different all-wheel drive choices, there's only one thing you need to know.
Nobody knows all-wheel drive better than Toyota. Let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Now, I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Plant people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air,
but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
While you were talking with Paul Feinbaum, Bo, the Miami Dolphins fired Mike McDaniel after four seasons in South Beach. So there are eight coaching vacancies, 25%, if my math's right, of the league is looking for a head coach. Thing or not a thing?
Yeah, I mean, kind of an obvious thing. So they had planned on keeping him, but they were interviewing general manager candidates. And the general manager, and I'm connecting dots. This isn't in any of the reporting, but that first part I said is in the reporting. Here's the connecting dots part. If you're a general manager and you're interviewing to be the general manager of the Miami Dolphins, don't you want to say on who the coach is? Yeah. Yeah. So if there was a guy they really liked in the process, he's like, that's fine, but I want to bring in my own guy. Then that's how you keep running into the Mike McDaniel roadblock. So the question then becomes, and I'm sure they would want John Harbaugh. Like, John Harbaugh in this mix only adds to all of it. But that's what I, if there's a GM currently in place, look for people that he knows in his history as potential candidates, because you're going to work with people that you know. So if the GM stayed, then think about that. If the coach stayed, then you have to think about if they really like the coach, they need to find a general manager. As soon as I knew that Mike McDaniel wasn't in the meetings to hire the GM, I knew that he was on the plank at that point. So it's kind of an obvious thing, the way that they played this.
Yeah, it's a thing because this is another guy, whether it be as a head coach or a coordinator, teams are going to go after right away. He's not going to be unemployed for too long. I think it's also a thing that 25% of the league is looking for a head coach. Mm-hmm. Now, some of those have not been, like, obviously, McDaniel was in Miami for a little while. Harbaugh, a long time in Baltimore. But some of this is just there's no patience anymore mm-hmm. for these guys. You've got to turn it around right now or you're going to go somewhere. You talk about John Harbaugh. Stephen Ross tried to hire Jim in 2011, yeah, I believe it was. And one of the people they are interviewing for their GM position is Chargers assistant GM Chad Alexander. So there is a lot of connect the dots, John and Harbaugh, towards Miami. And maybe if Mike McDaniel or if John Harbaugh kept his job, maybe Mike McDaniel would still have his. But that's not the case. And if they think they can get Harbaugh and that's who they want, they've got to go after him.
Albert Breer was on Juice this morning. Bob passed this along to me. All of the candidates were McDaniel's guys, according to Breer. Then Harbaugh came available. They interviewed the assistant GM out of the Chargers. You can guess where this is going, or certainly where they're intending for it to go, would be to hire John Harbaugh. Look, the weather's great in Miami, but that's a bit of a football mess for a 63-year-old.
Well, so. Troy Aikman's there, too, to clean it all up.
And Dan Marino. They're both there. Dan Marino did a decent job of acting in Ace Ventura. I saw that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. He was okay. As athletes go, he was okay in that. It wasn't far than Something About Mary.
Good old Isotoners.
Yeah.
ACC Network's Jimbo Fisher isn't a fan of Lane Kiffin flip-flopping on LSU staffers coaching Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl.
Now, it's selfish. That's what it is. It's stupid. And because here's why I say that. He wanted a coach and thought he didn't get his way. So everybody get on the plane with me. You don't have a job. All right? And he makes them all go. Then he gets down there and takes a PR hit because it looks bad that you really don't care about the kids. Then he says, okay, you can go back. Mm. But here's where he screwed up.
He thought they were going to lose.
He thought they were going to lose to Georgia. Exactly. And then the portal thing was all over with, and it was going to be all over with. And he said, okay, I'll look like a hero. Yeah. Now he's got egg on his face because the real Lane came back out. You know what I'm saying? And if those guys were allowed to coach the first game, they should be allowed to coach a fourth. Because those guys are doing, those kids are doing something that you get one time in your life to ever do.
Literally.
That team and those guys, one time. And as a coach, listen, I know I've left a job. I get that. But if you took them on and said they're never coming back, that's fine. You set the rules of the game. You don't change the rules in the middle of the game. And as a coach, it's hurting the kids and it pisses me off.
Thing or not a thing.
Been hilarious. And I don't know what happened after that. If somebody would have said, what would you have done, Jimbo? What would you have done? How would you have done this better?
That's what it is.
You know what I mean? How are you doing this better? This is a guy that every single time there was an opening in the SEC, he leveraged that opening with his agent against Florida State. Every single time.
I got ranches.
Every time. So he's Lane Kiffin with a comical accent. They're the same.
I got ranches.
I think it's funny that in the middle of that, Jimbo, and he kind of like, yeah, I did this. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, coaches leave. yeah, they do. And you probably would have done the same thing. Yes. You would have went and gone to LSU. You ended up at LSU. So it is easy for all of these guys when they're not in it and they're out sitting on a desk to throw the stones. Mm-hmm. But when they're in it, it's a little different.
It's the same way when I hear, like, you know, analysts who make a lot of money being really critical of players or coaches for how they're handling this, especially players, being critical of how players are handling this process, and they're not doing it for the love of the game. You work for free, dude? Someone offered you more money doing the same job? Would you take it? Just apply the same thing to yourselves. Don't be a hypocrite.
It's going to talk about Trae Young choosing to be a Washington Wizard, but that's not really a thing. In college hoops, undefeated at number 11 Vanderbilt hosted number 13 Alabama last night. Before the game, Crimson Tide head coach Nate Oates took a shot at the Commodores' schedule.
This game's going to go a long ways in final rankings, standings in the SEC. If, you know, things continue like they've done. I mean, look, they're good. They're you kind of watch them. I mean, they haven't played any real good teams. They played some high majors and shoot, blown them out, but they're good. I mean, the metrics say they're good. When you watch them on film, the eye test says they're good. It's going to be a good game.
Which Vanderbilt won 96-90? Thing or not a thing?
Okay, so I don't think it's a thing because I think everything he said is true, that they hadn't played any really good teams, but then they played a really good team and they beat them. So that tells you kind of all you need to know about it. And they handled their business. It's another example of things you're just going to have to get used to. You are. Like, Kentucky is 9-6 overall. They're 0-2 in the league. They spent money bigly, hugely, on their basketball team, majoritively through the portal, and Mark Pope can't get it to work together. Like, that is bluest of blue blood, Kentucky. That's Ohio State football, Kentucky basketball. Same. Can't figure it out. Vanderbilt can. Michigan can. So, this is where we're at now in sport, where we got to get used to play things like Vanderbilt having a Heisman finalist and Indiana winning a national title. Do you have ultra wealthy boosters who are willing to spend and get the roster and put it together? And then can the coach put it together and make it work? If you can, you can win. And it's a year to year process.
Nate Oates, it's January. Like, aren't these things that you need to be talking about at the end of February, beginning of March? Like, this is January. Just let it all play out. If you think your conference is so good, they're going to play some good teams, including yours. Don't give them any more fuel to the fire. I don't know if Vanderbilt would have won that game last night or not, but I'm sure those comments didn't help Alabama's case.
No, probably not. All right, we'll attempt to beat the house. We'll go over our final regular season records, picking every single NFL game against the number all season long. We'll do a competition reset. Bake, you're going to participate too. We'll do we'll do NFL playoffs from here on out. We will start with this weekend's games coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
I wish I'd gotten...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Miami Dolphins are the latest NFL team with a coaching vacancy. After 4 seasons in South Beach, Mike McDaniel was fired this morning. There are now 8 jobs currently open, including the Cleveland Browns. In college football, Ohio State landed a linebacker from the portal. Former Wisconsin Badger Christian Allegro will join the Buckeyes for his final year of eligibility. He's the 5th portal player to commit to Ohio State. Former UTSA wideout Devin McEwen committed on Wednesday. The portal closes next Friday. In college hoops, Ohio State begins a 2-game road trip tonight at Oregon. Tip-off is at 10:30. Here on The Fan with coverage at 9:30. Buckeyes are at Washington on Sunday. And in the NHL, the Blue Jackets will skate in Las Vegas tonight against the Golden Knights at 10 o'clock. Game 2 of a 4-game road trip. FanDuel Network's Jody Shelley. He'll join the program in about 30 minutes right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Thursday. A little bit of Shelly time coming up in 28 minutes from now. NFL coaching carousel got a little bit more crowded. We'll get into that coming up at 11:17. Time now to beat the house.
Beat the house.
All right, kids, we made it. How do we finish up, Fake?
So through 18 weeks of the regular season, it was a pretty good year for you guys. Bo, you finished last week 7-9, so you wrap up the year 133-125. That is 8 games over 500. Reese, you did it a couple weeks ago. You clawed out. You got back to 500, and that's where you stayed. You went 8-8 last week, so that puts you with a record of 128-128 on the season. All in all, I think a respectable job out of you two.
Reese, in terms of moments in your life of clutchness, where does that 13-3 week rank for you?
It's up there.
A couple weeks ago.
Overall, I'm disappointed. I think I pulled a 2-12 in week 10. So, you know, you have ebbs and flows, right, in any season. I just think I just need the fans to be patient. We'll get it right.
You were 60 games over last year or something to that effect, picking every NFL game against the number. And we don't just pick our favorites. We pick every single game every single week. To get back to 500, because you were well under for a lot of it, and you just kept battling. And I floundered down the stretch. There was a time when I was 20-some, 30 games over 500, and I really struggled down the stretch. So, who knows what to make of it. New competition starts today. Bake, you're in.
Okay.
You are in.
Tag,
right,
I'm in.
Let's do it.
Reese, you, in the words of Ryan Day, you just kept swinging.
Kept swinging.
Yeah, and I think last year, you know, it was great, but I took down that banner, because that was last year. Like, Eric hadn't done anything until, like, 2025, Eric was his own man.
You almost got a spit take out of me, a legit spit take.
According to Dom, as soon as the Super Bowl was over, you took it down.
The second.
Yeah.
Done.
Put it up, took it down. Yeah, opening day, closing day, same day.
That's it. Get rid of it.
Two-sided tape, didn't even leave a mark.
Nope.
All right, guys, we kick this thing off on Saturday at 4:30. I don't know what Bo Bishop is going to do with this game. The Los Angeles Rams, 10.5-point favorites, heading cross-country to take on the greatest team in the history of the world, the Carolina Panthers.
It's so gross. My beloved Rams. Why is this 10.5? We just saw this game a month ago. Carolina won. Stafford threw picks, including one in the end zone, and it's 10.5? 10.5? Somebody knows something. Rams, 28, Carolina 13.
I think Los Angeles wins, but they just keep pounding until the end of the game. And I feel like with what happened in that game that you mentioned before, where you saw Stafford throw a bajillion picks, I think Carolina loses, but they cover with the back door. Bryce Young, he's knocking.
It wouldn't take much. I mean, you could be up.
Really, no.
You could be up 38-20. You could be up 28-10. And all of a sudden, a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and it's cover city. So, I mean, the logic plays that way. I just think somebody must know something. It's just so big.
I understand your thinking there, Bo. But all year in football, whether it be the NFL or college, for the most part, teams going west to east have not done great. So for that reason, and it's double digits, I think the Rams win, but I like the Panthers to cover.
All right, very good.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock, it is an AFC North matchup in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers heading to Chicago to take on the Bears. The Bears, the home dog, by 1.5.
This is an Amazon joint. Give me Chicago.
In my youth as a Bears fan, my middle brother Tuck was a Packers fan, and so I didn't choose wisely. Now, the only thing I had going for a lot of our youth was the Bears won the Super Bowl when we were very little in 85, and the Packers never did. But then the Packers won Super Bowls with Favre, and they were always better, and I had to deal with it for most of my life until I stopped being a Bears fan. One thing I know is the Green Bay Packers do not lose to the Chicago Bears, not when it matters. I just think something's off in Green Bay. There's all of these rumors about LaFleur could be on the way out. Ben Johnson's got that Chicago outfit believing. I'm with you. I like the Bears in an upset. They're 1.5-point home dogs. Give me the home team, and I'll take the 1.5.
I'm just not there on the Bears yet. This has been a great year. And next year, maybe I would pick them. I still think Green Bay is just a little better this year. I'm going with the Packers to win and cover. Sunday at 1, the Buffalo Bills in Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. This is the Nance and Romo game on CBS. The Bills are the favorites on the road by 1.5.
I don't know if you guys are experiencing this as we're going through this, but I can make an argument as each one of these comes up. I could make an argument for either team.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is really wide open. Like, I don't think Carolina is going to beat the Rams, but I could see. I mean, we just saw it happen, so it's in play. And I feel that way about this one. Go ahead, Reese.
Well, I was going to say, if Green Bay loses to Chicago, like, is Matt LaFleur?
That's what's being talked about. Like, go look at his record. And they're talking about they're going to run him.
But they take him in Cleveland in a heartbeat.
Yeah, take him a lot of places in
really
a heartbeat.
Really good coach.
I just think, I know that there is, and I hope for this, because I would love the idea of this Bills team playing for a Super Bowl. I just think they're really, really flawed. I think they're really flawed. I think if this is a close game that Josh Allen can pull it out, but I think Jacksonville deserves to be favored in this game. I think they're better. I just watched him go to Denver like 3 weeks ago and beat the brakes off a Denver team that hadn't lost in September. I just think they deserve better than being underdogs at home, and I think that they win this game. I could see Buffalo doing it, absolutely. I think this one could be a classic. But I'm going to take Jacksonville to win this one outright.
I mean, I just keep thinking about the heroics that Josh Allen would have to pull off to win this game. It might be too much right now. Give me Jacksonville as well.
I have a feeling the Bills have kind of had their eye on the playoffs for a while, knowing especially that Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs would not be there. If Allen doesn't do it this year, when? I don't know when it's happening for him.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't happen, but they're not going out in the first round. Give me the Bills to win. Give me the Bills to cover. 4:30 Sunday afternoon, we've got the San Francisco 49ers heading across the country to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. The Eagles are home favorites by 4.5 points, Reese.
Yeah, San Francisco's getting healthy at the right time. I think Philadelphia wins, but I like it in a close game. So give me San Francisco plus the 4.5.
Why is this one so big? Why was San Francisco home dogs last week against Seattle? Like, what are we missing here? Well, what we're missing is San Francisco has no pass rush. I want to say as a team, they only have like 20 sacks on the year as a team. In the postseason, that's a problem. So I was with the Niners last week. I'm off them this week. Give me Philly to win and cover.
I know this will spit in the face of the West to East conversation that I like to have with these teams traveling. I've got to stick with the Niners. I think, especially getting 4.5 points, I actually think the Niners win this game, but they can definitely cover the 4.5. 8:00 Sunday night, the Los Angeles Chargers in Foxborough taking on the New England Patriots. The Patriots favorites at home by 3.5.
This is New England and ram it. I think this one could get pretty ugly from the Patriots side of things. I think they really handle their business in this one.
Yeah, no Chargers, no. I like the Patriots to cover as well.
I mean, come on now. You already know. I'm going to make that 3 for 3. Patriots win by a touchdown. The final game is Monday night. The Houston Texans, 3-point favorites on the road in Pittsburgh, taking on the Steelers.
There's no I don't know if I have any reasoning behind this, but Pittsburgh's just going to make it close. Like, I do think Houston wins, but I think it comes down to a field goal. So I think whatever you pick here, you get the push, because this just screams Boswell field goal to win it. Or Houston to miss a field goal, because inexplicably, Aaron Rodgers has a great game.
If you pick Pittsburgh here like Reese just did, then in a way you are believing in voodoo, because they're not good. But somehow they're 10-7. They always win. And you can't help but believe in the voodoo, because I think it kind of exists for them.
Yeah.
I think it's real. I think there is an inherent belief. And if they can muck this thing up with DK Metcalf back, as great as Houston, and Houston's defense is elite, and they are going to be a problem. This is going to be an ugly game. I think it's a really low-scoring game. And for that reason, again, I don't need necessarily Pittsburgh to win, but I'm kind of with you. It just screams like 17-16 or something like that. So I'll give me the Steelers to cover.
What do the Pittsburgh Steelers do most of the time? Play gross, ugly, low-scoring games?
Yeah.
What has gotten the Texans through this streak? Their defense, for the most part, and they've been low-scoring games. I think Pittsburgh wins, but regardless, 3 points, this game just screams last-second field goal by either team. So give me the Steelers in the points.
Which of those picks you guys made are you most confident in? Which one are you least confident in?
I'm most confident in the Panthers covering.
Okay.
I'm least confident in the Niners covering.
Jake?
I think I'm most confident in the Patriots this week. I think the Patriots get it done, especially if this game was in L.A., maybe it's different. But L.A. hadn't crossed country to Foxborough. I think that's a major difference.
And least?
I think the least for me is Carolina.
Okay. So
I could see the Rams blowing them out.
I have Rams in New England as my most confident. My least confident is all of the ones that you would say with your head. And I feel equally about all of these. Green Bay, the Bills, and the Niners. History would tell you that those three teams will win those games. Like, they just would. Or at least make them very, very close. 3-point games in the case of the Niners. But it's going to be a fun weekend. And if it goes the way I picked it, which it won't because I haven't been good at this in a while. If it goes the way I picked it, it is going to be a wide open shootout from here on out in the NFL. And we might get that anyway. And perhaps that's why we now have 8 NFL coaching openings. We will go over the latest on all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Getting cold?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bonnie Britton, I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Being diagnosed with leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, or one of over 100 other types of blood cancer makes people want more time to do the things they love. That means more time to be artists, prom dates, world travelers, and moms. We are Blood Cancer United, the world's leading organization focused solely on blood cancer research, support, and advocacy. We do the most for more people with blood cancer, so people with blood cancer can do more of whatever they want. Blood Cancer United. Join us at bloodcancerunited.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes hit the road for a Big Ten battle with Oregon.
Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 9:30 with the tip at 10:30.
Every game, every season. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed. And he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about, realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Could see some patchy lingering fog today, otherwise mostly cloudy and mild with highs in the mid to upper 50s. For tonight, lows in the upper 40s to low 50s, gusty winds, and we'll see showers developing going toward daybreak on Friday. For Friday, we could see scattered showers and even isolated thunderstorms. It will be significantly warmer and breezy with highs in the mid to low 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, we talked about this yesterday with the news of the John Harbaugh availability becoming official from the night before, and the reality was that there were going to be jobs that were not currently open becoming open. And one of the ones, I'm pretty sure we mentioned this by name, was Miami. I mean, I think the two we mentioned was Miami and Washington. Those were the two that you say, just common sense-wise, the connection with Ross and the Harbaughs goes back to the Michigan stuff, and obviously he tried to hire Jim, and now John's available. And if you can hire John Harbaugh, and I'm guessing if wherever John Harbaugh goes, and I see that I'm seeing this buttressed now by Adam Schefter's tweet from earlier, wherever John Harbaugh goes, he's going to want to stay in personnel. Like, it worked very well in Baltimore, but they very much had a system of Ozzie into DaCosta. That's general manager. That handles players, draft, free agency. Harbaugh, I'm sure, had say in all of those things, but he wasn't the final say. And I'm guessing he'd like a little bit more say. Any coach would. And that's how what happened down in Miami happened. They were interviewing GM candidates, and Albert Breer was on the Morning Juice with Bob and Thidoff this morning. And one of the things he talked about was, what changed here was once Harbaugh became available, it changes kind of everything. So the reporting so far on Harbaugh is he needs to take a week to kind of sift through some things, and then he'll make a decision. I don't think Miami's a great job other than the weather. Like, if you take the weather, it's an iconic franchise for sure, but if you take the lifestyle out of it, is Miami that much better job than Arizona? And
no,
both of those are elite weather.
It's tougher. I mean, Miami's right now the 11th pick in the draft. They've got the AFC East, so you're dealing with the Patriots, and you've got the Bills. Patriots aren't going anywhere. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Bills on Super Wild Card weekend. Yeah, you're not dealing with much outside of the weather and the opportunity for you to do it your way and an owner that'll spend.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're going to have to make a decision on Tua. And if they release him, it's like a $99 million hit I saw this morning. So they're probably not going to do that. But the new coach probably isn't married to Tua. So he probably is going to want to find his own guy. And there are going to be some quarterbacks that are going to be available. Whatever you think of Mac Jones and Malik Willis and those type of players, those guys are going to be available. Kyler Murray is going to be available. Like, there are going to be some guys out there that are going to be available. Can you make it work? Who knows? But I think the Miami spot is tough. Go ahead, Ben.
You just kind of put Miami and Arizona in the same light a little bit, and you mentioned both their quarterbacks. Could that just be a one-for-one swap, hoping to maybe catch lightning in a bottle or a new place will invigorate one of them?
Yeah, I think it's probably a disservice to Tua that I compare him to Kyler. Because Tua, when healthy, has led a team to the postseason, didn't even put up a massive season that first year with Tyreek. He had like 4,000 yards passing.
It got him the contract.
Yeah. Like, the only thing with Tua was just the health is the issue. Like, he just hadn't been able to stay healthy, and the concussion stuff is absolutely terrifying. But I thought he had a year. My God. His 2023, age 25 year, he threw for 46-24 on 70% completions, 29 touchdowns, 14 picks. He was a Pro Bowler. He was ninth in the MVP. He got MVP votes the year before when he threw for 35-48. So he's done it. Kyler's never had a year like that. But, you know, you're taking on a lot with Tua when it comes to the health stuff. And I think for both of those guys, you got to be in a dome. You got to be climate control. You can't play in the NFC East, the NFC North with either one of those guys, I don't think. And Kyler, I think the other thing between Kyler and Tua, I think Tua could play in a lot of systems. I think Kyler, you have to build the system around him. And I don't know he's talented enough to validate that.
And the thing for John, I mean, he was in Baltimore for 18 years.
Yeah.
So is he willing to do what I think it would take time to do in Miami, unless you think Quinn Ewers could be something immediately?
Maybe.
Because it felt like McDaniel was trying to make that be an idea for next season. Or if we can, you know, Quinn Ewers can be a starter that can get us to or above mm-hmm. 500 a little bit, then you can cook with a little bit more next season, the 2027 season. But
yeah, here's the other thing.
Well, I was just going to say, like, a five-year plan seems the most for John Harbaugh.
Yeah, right. I mean, 63. The thing that will be the other thing to note on this is the Baltimore Ravens clearly did their homework on quarterbacks, because there was a lot of whispers last year in terms of backups in the draft, because obviously there was whispers about them with Shador, and Shador didn't want to play there because he didn't want to back up Lamar and knew that there was no path to be a starter in Baltimore. So that was kind of how that went. So if you think about Cleveland has Shador, Cleveland has obviously Gabriel and Deshaun. Those guys are all in that room up there. Atlanta has Cousins and it has Penix. Arizona doesn't really have anybody. I guess officially they still have Kyler, but that's not going to stay that way. The Giants have Dart. I mean, that's pretty simple. Like, do you like Jackson Dart? Do you like Malik Nabers? That's what the Giants are bringing to the table, and they're picking very high again this year. Vegas, you get to pick your quarterback. So if you're John Harbaugh and you're looking at Vegas and you go, okay, well, great place to live, no state tax. I got Brock Bowers. I've got Ashton Jeanty. Other than that, the cupboard's pretty empty, but I can build it the way I want, and I get my pick of Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza. If I like one of those guys, I'm spending the next week, if I'm him, watching tape on those two guys to see if I want to build something around them in Vegas. That's what anybody in Vegas should be doing. Do I like these two quarterbacks? If the answer to that is yes, then the Vegas job becomes a very, very good job, I do believe. The Ravens job is the best job, but it comes with the most pressure by 1,000 miles. The Baltimore Ravens have had three coaches in their franchise history. Billick, Harbaugh. Do you guys remember the first one? You got to go deep into the reservoir to remember the very first one. You got it, Vic? Oh,
man, I should know this. Billick, Harbaugh.
Billick was there for 9 years. Harbaugh was there for 18. And one man was the original coach of the Baltimore Ravens.
Was it Rex Ryan? He was a DC.
He was a D coordinator, yeah. It was Ted Marchabrota.
You made that name up.
I'm not. He was the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, too.
I was going to say, wasn't he the Colts coach?
Yeah. So the Baltimore job's the best. It just comes with all the pressure. You could argue Tennessee's there, too, if you love Cam Ward. And a lot of people loved him. He's out there, too. In terms of the names, I mean, you're going to get a laundry list of names. It's going to be a lot of the same guys are going to be interviewed for same jobs, right? I mean, it's always hot coordinator. I do think the Ravens job is one where there might be somebody who ends up with that job that you haven't even considered. That might be one that pulls a college guy out of college, honestly. That job's that good.
Question for Browns general manager Bo Bishop. When you say a hot coordinator, do you mean physically attractive or hot name? Because Cliff Kingsbury, I think, would meet the more physically attractive, less hot as in has done good at his job.
Yeah, I think the Kingsbury, to me, Kingsbury
is a good-looking man.
He very much is.
We can agree on that.
Like, to me, he's more like coordinator guy, you know? So, like, if you had the young quarterback, like, I think what he did with Jaden Daniels was really impressive. And what they did offensively year one was very impressive. Like, if I were the New York Giants and I hired somebody, you know, if I went defensive-wise head coach, I might consider him as the offensive coordinator if he got along with the coach, like that type of thing. I think that's Cliff. I don't think it did not go very well for him when he was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So I don't know if he will be in a situation to be a head coach. But for example, and this isn't going to happen in Cleveland, because if Jim Schwartz got elevated, they would just keep Tommy Rees as the offensive coordinator and they would just go that way. But if you had a situation like that where you hire a defensive guy and you have a young quarterback, Cliff's perfect for that. So that's the thing to watch for.
I feel like Cliff Kingsbury is just Kevin Stefanski in a different pretty face, right? Like, I just think they're the same guy.
Let's do a handsome off.
Like, Mike McDaniel, I can't see that in Cleveland, because why wouldn't you just keep Stefanski? Like, I feel like those guys are all the same.
That's a little bit, that's probably too much, right? Because, like, not everybody who's a great offensive mind is Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay or LaFleur. Like, there are guys who can, you have to think of it kind of in silos. There are schematic geniuses, and then there are follow me to freedom guys. The best are schematic guys who become follow me to freedom guys. So that's McVay, Shanahan, maybe O'Connell gets there. Feels like LaFleur's there, although they don't seem to be satisfied with him. And then the follow me to freedom guys, that's the Tomlin, John Harbaugh, Dan Campbell. That's those guys. Vrabel's a follow me to freedom guy, but Vrabel also has the schematics. Dan Campbell also has the schematic stuff. So that's what you're trying to get to, is the third one, which is all of it, right? And that just kind of, it's in the eye of the beholder of ownership in terms of what you're looking for on that side of things. We'll head to Vegas coming up next. Jackets in Las Vegas tonight against the Golden Knights. A little bit of Shelly time coming your way next. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey there. Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Your child is sick. With those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Happy kids heal faster. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation delivers happiness through gaming, toy deliveries, and more to hospitals across the country. Learn more at starlight.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The gloves. It's Shelly time.
Indeed it is, and we head to fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada for this one, for a little bit of Shelly time on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You and I have not spoken since New Year's. Happy New Year, buddy. Did you have a nice little holiday break there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I did. It was a nice New Year's, a little relaxing night after a game, and then right back at it. How about you?
Yeah, not bad. We did okay. I mean, the result of the Buckeye game was a tough one to swallow on New Year's Eve, so that kind of wrecks your night a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But other than that, it was fine. I did not get to midnight. I didn't make it again. I can't get there. I'm too damn tired, man. Getting up too early. It's killing me.
Yeah, you are. I get that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm curious, when NHL because you hear about this in other sports all the time, and I'm sure it happens in the NHL too. When NFL teams, for example, go to South Florida, there's a Miami hangover that comes with it. Is that true in hockey as well? And you're in a place that has more distractions than you can shake a stick at. How do teams combat all that Vegas has to offer? And how much does that help It helps that Vegas has always been very, very good too, of course, but how much does the distraction of the city help the Golden Knights?
You know, it's funny. I had this conversation with Bob McGilligan yesterday because, you know, when they first got the team, I think everyone thought they were going to go, they weren't going to lose a game at home because of that. Exactly. Who, you know, teams coming to Vegas and friends and family, and there's all kinds of distractions and that. But now I think this is a place where the environment is so fun during a game. I think the players look forward to kind of spoiling the party here during the game, you know, and I think that, no, there's other stops with a lot of distractions. I don't think it's a big advantage at all. I really don't. You know, I think that guys are so dialed in and focused, and I think maybe back, you go back 20 years, it might have been a bigger problem because there was a lot more, I guess, social activities around the traveling, you know, the road trips when I was playing, and I could see it being like being in the locker room and looking across at a guy who maybe stayed a little too late the night before the game and be like, okay, we got to pull up our socks for him. But no, I don't think that's happening now. I mean, these are young kids. They know what's at stake with contracts and wins and losses. So I think they're pretty dialed in.
For those of us who have not been to a game in Las Vegas, and you said the circus that comes with it, what do they do that's different than everywhere else?
Well, I think the volume is about 10 decibels higher on everything they do. The sound system, everything's loud and big and flashy. I mean, starting a warm-up, it's incredible. I can put a water bottle, when I'm between the benches here, I can put a water bottle on the ledge of the bench, and it'll stay on there for maybe 4 seconds because the vibration of the bass in the building is just thumping. Wow. So you feel like you're, as a player, I would imagine you feel like you're... And, well, they have dancing girls set up in the end zone for the visiting team. So tonight for the Blue Jackets, there'll be about 20 dancing girls on the glass trying to distract in big feathers and boas and like the, yeah, well, that's where it starts. So, I mean, you know, you're in Vegas when you're inside the building. There's a nightclub in the building. I mean, they haven't missed one aspect of this town inside the building.
I got to talk to management here about the distracting dancing girls for me while I do the show. Like, I mean, who gets hurt there? Nobody gets hurt there, Jodes.
Hey, that's a warm up. That's right.
That's beautiful. When did you, let's go back to the San Jose. When did you realize that Reeves Olivier was happening?
You know, I thought it was going to happen earlier, but they didn't get on the ice together. I didn't realize until I was going through a replay, and then I looked down the ice and I saw them shaking the gloves off. So I knew they were aware of each other. I mean, there was something where, you know, when you go against a heavyweight, when you know one of your good tests is in a lineup as a tough guy, your radar is up. You know, you've prepared in every way for that. But then you also play hockey until that happens. And once it got up 2-0, I thought maybe it would have happened earlier, but they really didn't match up against each other. So just when I finished the replay, I looked down and I said, oh, here it is. The main event is happening. Yeah.
It sure was.
Oh, it was, I mean, for Matthew Olivier. And I saw him yesterday, and the first thing I said to him after I said, man, that was a... you did a heck of a job there. He said, I said, I would have asked you to take your helmet off because Matthew has the visor on and Reeves doesn't. And that's a big advantage. You can kind of tuck under that visor. And, you know, once he got Reeves' helmet off, every one of those blows were effective that he threw. And Matthew said, yeah, I said to him after the game, I said to Reeves after the game when I saw him, I said, you know, next time I'll take my helmet off. And Reeves said, oh, don't worry about it. And he was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, you know, there's a tremendous amount of respect. And Reeves in the box said to Olivier in the Pelly box, he said, you know, you caught me. I haven't been caught like that before. And just a great amount of respect. It's hard for people to believe it because, you know, you think you're out there. And in the moment, you absolutely want to knock the guy's head off. But when it's over and you want to make sure everyone's okay. And, you know, there's a lot of respect in that. And those are two of the toughest guys in the National Hockey League. And we now know, well, now the world knows that Matthew Olivier is the toughest in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was truly, like, in that sense, a heavyweight championship. Those are the two guys that kind of everybody wanted to see, right, Joe?
Yeah, and it's amazing, like, that, for him now, like, that, you know, he's going to get some guys maybe that will want to measure themselves with him to see how long with him. He's going to get a lot of room and a lot of respect because everybody saw it, and, yeah, it's good for him. He works at it. He's been boxing since he was 10 years old. He works at it in the locker room. Part of his training is the heavy bag. They just put it up in the Blue Jackets locker room this year, and he was ready. He's a really good technical fighter, strong and tough. So that combination, he should be. He's going to have a lot more room on the ice. Let's put it that way.
I did not cover his dad. I covered the ECHL like 25 years ago when I was in Tallahassee, and that is a drop the gloves league. I mean, that is.
Oh yeah.
It was haymakers left and right. And so if his, I mean, he grew up. So when you tell me that he's been, you know, learning how to box since he was 10, of course, that's the path, man. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's
his incredible. Dad was a pretty physical player too when he played in the coast. So,
yeah.
It was, you know, it's great. Every team would love to have Matthew Olivier. And they were so smart to lock him up last year long term. And, it's an, you know what, that kind of faded away. That part of the game faded away a little bit for about 5 years. And everyone was trying to go small and quick. And now every team is looking for character and toughness. The element is still so valuable in this game in 82 games and need some, you can play with emotion. It's a great thing to have. And think about it. Branson's out. He plays that way. He's hard to play against at least. So you get more respect and more room in front of your net. You know, Smith is another guy that plays that way, and Wood will fight as well. He's injured. So this team, when healthy, is one of the toughest and hardest to play against in the league.
Yeah, and I like that it's coming back. There's nothing like being in a barn or something like that happens. There's an electricity to it that's hard to explain unless you've been in it and seen it, and you obviously were front row for a lot of them and in the middle of a lot of them, buddy. Yeah. All right. Big challenge. We're treading water here, right? It's 500 hockey, and you win a few games in a row, but you don't make it a whole lot of ground up in the standings, and that's what happens when you dig a little bit of a hole. What do you hope to see tonight in Vegas?
Well, you know, you look at this trip. It's a four-game trip. You lose the first one. I'm going to give that a bit of a pass. I think they should have won that game because they could have won that game because they kept it close. To me, they were tired because of travel. I'm going to give them that. And the fans might think, oh, he's making excuses. But I'm going to go with that and look at the rest of the trip here and say, you come into Vegas tonight and you play the game that you know you can play. You know, I thought Werenski was a little step behind last game. I think he looked tired. I think there was a couple other guys who were making bad decisions because it just their body clock was off. Okay. Well, you beat Vegas tonight. They got to play their game. It's hard. It's fast. It's against a team that's in Vegas. And yeah, they're the top of the Pacific right now, but they're sputtering a little bit. To me, they're kind of hitting a little bit of a doldrum in the schedule. So take it to them early and beat them. Then you go into Colorado, you know, one of the best team in the National Hockey League by far, but they're beatable. They have some key injuries. Their captain Landeskog is out. Lehkonen is out. There's a couple key pieces there that are out of the lineup. And I think you can get that game on the first of a back-to-back and then go into Utah and try to get a point or two there and make this a successful trip. I think that has to be the goal here.
Yeah.
This team has 15 games, including tonight, left before the break. That's 15 games in 24 nights. Not many against the Metro, which is, you know, that's where you really make up hay on your group, or the East. I think there's only five total, three against Metro, two against the Atlantic in the East. The rest, 10 are against the West. You've got to find a way to win these games to get points and be in a really good position going into the break. Feel good about yourself and come out of it. That's where it's at. This is a make and break point for every team right now that's in this spot in the National Hockey League, because what do GMs do out of the break? Do you add? Mm-hmm. You tinker. What, you know, you want to know exactly what you are. And with injuries and a team that's not really playing consistent hockey, you're unsure. And for me, it's goaltending as well. Jack Greaves, what's this, his seventh, eighth start in a row if he starts tonight? I mean, it's almost like they can't put Elvis in, or they believe in Jet that much more that they're not going to put him in the net. So this is on Jet. So that's something else they have to figure out. So there's a lot of question marks right now, but I think this road trip, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a battle, but this is where games like you let get away in San Jose, you have to make up for it somewhere. And I think the rest of the trip has got to be very, very, they have to surprise some teams here and take 5 of the next 6 points.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, it's time. It's time to make that run and try to be in the mix by the time you get to that break. Well said, sir, as always. Enjoy Sin City, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Bo. Heading to Denver tonight. So that'll be, we'll get a day there tomorrow. So that's always, I like that better than Vegas, I'll tell you that.
Rocky Mountains, baby. They're a whole lot rockier than people think.
Can't wait to see them. All right.
There he goes. A little bit of Shelly time for you on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We get you 3 things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Hair volume from new.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad, and I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed, and he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about, realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at FeedingAmerica.org. Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Hey, what's up? It's
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The Fan.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do we have on the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, who do you think wins tonight's Fiesta Bowl? Ole Miss, Miami. 60% say Miami.
I'm probably with the 60%.
I am too.
Where are you, Big?
I think I'm leaning Ole Miss.
Gotta be something. Be something if they did. They got both. Either way.
Could you imagine a final? And all of these finals are going to be great because none of these teams have won one in a really long time, if they've ever won one at all. But Cignetti coming from James Madison and Trinidad Chambliss and Ferris State and those two play, that's just insane.
It is. Yeah, it really is. All right, time for three things on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
One, two. Three things.
All right, number one for me, my wife has this habit of just wrecking movies that her and I have seen and the boy has not. So, like 2 months ago, and spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Untouchables, mute your radio for the next 12 seconds. We're like 3/4 of the way through it, and we're coming up to this massive scene with Sean Connery's character, and NBC's never seen the show, never seen the movie. And she goes, isn't this where he dies? And I go, well, honey.
No way.
Yes, you've seen the movie. This is where he dies. He hasn't seen it. So last night, we're watching Wedding Crashers. And she bailed after about 15 minutes. But NBC's like, why does he have such a problem with her, with Gloria, in the beginning? Like, why does he want to be away from her so much? And she goes, well, he marries her in the end. I go, well, honey, he doesn't know that. He hadn't seen that. She did the same thing with The Hunt for Red October. We were watching that the other night. Isn't this where he gets shot? Yes. Yes. This is where... Let's just not talk during the rewatching of movies. That's the best way to do it. Just lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
She asked me last night, is that where you got that? Yes, that's
where. First thing for me, I noticed I don't ever touch the TVs in here other than to turn them off when or turn them on when they turn off because they're... They have a timer. One of the televisions in the studio was set to CBS, which right now has Price is Right, which is a fun show to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be bringing a Yellowstone spinoff to CBS on March 1st called Marshals. Mm-hmm. Now, it was initially called Why Marshals, and it was going to be the spinoff with Casey Dutton and his kid, who's going to be an adult kid, being Marshals.
Yeah.
And since... Maybe a week ago, they've taken the Y off of it. And the Hollywood Reporter says because CBS is mad that Taylor Sheridan's going to NBC Universal, they're trying to remove the Yellowstone from it. And it's like, well, wait a minute. The main character, this the whole spinoff thing. Like, just because you took a letter off of it doesn't mean it's not Yellowstone. And also, did anybody ask for this?
No. And furthermore, like in a classic Taylor Sheridan, all of his shows fall apart as long as the further that they're on the air, as great as they are in the beginning. Latest example of that, like Casey's whole thing was in Yellowstone was about sticking with his wife. Now he's single. Like,
oh, is that
what's going on?
Did she leave him?
I have no idea.
Oh,
and it hasn't started yet, but she's not on the show.
Oh,
and that was a pretty central part of the first 4 seasons of Yellowstone.
First thing for me, and I know most people are going to be locked into the college football playoff, and maybe you would say this regardless, watching these two teams, this is a brutal night for Columbus sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jackets don't drop puck till 10. The Buckeye basketball team doesn't tip till 10:30. I mean, what do we do, save money by sending them both out there on the same airplane?
Crazy.
For this trip? I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. I don't think Ohio State and the Blue Jackets are working that hand in hand yet. I know they're two different leagues and they don't want to schedule this. This is brutal tonight.
It is, yeah. And then you watch the game you're supposed to be playing in, so not good on that side of it either. Number two for me, I appreciate the warm-up that we're in the middle of right now. I like it. It's nice, a little bit of a warm-up in between. We dealt with 60 days of 20 degrees or so, it felt, with one respite around the holiday. Now we get a couple of days of warm. Good. I'll take it. Give me all of it right now. I'm not one of those guys who says don't give me this when I got more bad to look forward to. I appreciate any good days I can get.
Speaking of warm weather, we're pretty sure it's going to be warm in Columbus on Wednesday, May 20th, but isn't that when it just gets warm and rainy? Bruno Mars is coming to Ohio Stadium as part of his The Romantic Tour.
Okay.
And I understand Ohio Stadium wanting to host as many events as humanly possible, but Bruno Mars? Like, I know AC/DC, like, that'll be big because it's, like, their final tour, but...
Sure.
I don't know the last thing Bruno Mars has done. And, yeah, Wednesday, May 20th for that show.
That's a big risk.
Bruno packs it.
Really?
I bet it's full.
Okay. I bet he puts on a hell of a show. He did a Super Bowl halftime.
He's being old. Yeah.
He's like the modern-day Michael Jackson. I feel like if this is close to anyone, that's Bruno.
I bet he does, but I just worry about the weather, too.
Bo, I don't know if you've heard what's going on in Worthington right now, but it might be the answer to your neighbor's coyote problems.
Give it to me.
The deer population in Worthington is so bad right now, and it is just like, you'll be in a yard and deer are just walking all over the place. Yep. They're bringing in sharpshooters.
Yeah.
To take out some of the deer. And if nothing else, I can't wait to see what the group chat says about that. So this may be your answer, Bo. Maybe you want to talk to Worthington and have them send the guys up a little north.
I don't need anybody taking out coyotes with guns. They're relatively harmless. I'm a fan of the coyote, but the deer thing, yeah. I mean, I've heard of that. There's other communities that have done that as well. We don't have time for three today. We are back tomorrow. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.